Let's return to the topic of slavery from a previous segment. We have this cultural mythology in the U.S. that the Civil War abolished slavery. As previously presented, this abolition didn't include the end of wage slavery that continues today. But apart from that, it also really didn't end the practice of chattel slavery that was employed in the southern states by plantation owners. At the end of the Civil War, the 13th Amendment was ratified. Contrary to our cultural narrative, this amendment did not abolish slavery. Here's what the 13th Amendment says. Neither slavery nor involuntary servitude, except as a punishment for a crime, whereof the party shall be duly convicted, shall exist within the United States or any place subject to their jurisdiction. Now, I want to read that one more time with an emphasis on what I think are the important points. Neither slavery nor involuntary servitude, except as a punishment for a crime, whereof the party shall be duly convicted, shall exist within the United States or any place subject to their jurisdiction. A reading of the 13th Amendment makes clear that the United States did not abolish slavery. What they did, they took the right to own slaves away from the private sector and monopolized the right to reduce citizens to slaves exclusively to the state, the government. From the time of the ratification of the 13th Amendment until today, the process for stripping people of citizenship and reducing them to slaves is under the operation of government courts. If a court employs its processes and determines you have committed a crime, that determination has the legal power to transform you into a slave. And again, just to clarify, it's irrelevant if you committed a crime or not. The 13th Amendment says nothing about whether you committed a crime. All that has to happen is that the government's courts declare that you did. Upon such a decree, you're a slave. Now, this is important to consider for purposes of understanding the legal ramifications of this. That, in one analysis, you're dealing with the cosmic and magical transformation of what used to be a citizen into a slave. But also consider that at the same time, you're dealing with the legal transformation of a person into property. Keep in mind, in American legalese, personhood is a legal definition. Remember, in court cases, slaves were defined as being a certain fraction of a person, like 3/5 or something. Someone of the status as a slave is no longer a person under the law, but is instead chattel or property. So under authority of the 13th Amendment, when a judge thumps a gavel and finds you guilty of a crime, the court is turning you from a citizen to a slave and from a person into property. You are owned by the state. You become little more than a coffee table or a lampstand, a piece of furniture to be moved and used and disposed of as the state sees fit. If we view the justice and corrections process through this legal lens, we see the true designs of the entire framework. Criminal courts are slave factories. They turn citizens into slaves, people into property, and so-called correction facilities are really modern-day plantations. Through this lens, we see why prisoners have no rights. Prisoners are slaves, not citizens. Property, not people. In the view of the hierarchs and their legal framework, as prisoners, we cease to exist as human beings. We are chattel, like cows or sheep.
This call is originating from an Ohio correctional facility and may be recorded and monitored.
Ironic, but when I figured that out, it suddenly made sense that when you seek to challenge confinement through remedies like habeas corpus, you file a suit against the warden. The same way a slave would challenge enslavement through a writ filed against the slave's owner. In the here and now, the prison is the plantation, the warden is the slave owner, and the prisoners are slaves. Taken together, this means all of us are confronted by a sprawling slaveocracy. One where each of us is facing the constant precarity of being permanently stripped of our own personhood and reduced to chattel by an ever-growing, ever-centralizing control state, actively rolling back even the illusion of protections it once may have offered. The United States is consciously and deliberately in the slavery business. I can think of no better argument for its non-existence. This is anarchist prisoner Sean Swain from Warren Correctional in Lebanon, Ohio. If you're listening, you are the resistance.
You can write to Sean Swain at Sean Swain, 243-205, Warren, CI, P.O. Box 120, 5787 State Route 63, Lebanon, Ohio, 45036. For updates on his situation, his bid for U.S. president in 2016, and more writings by Sean can be found at seanswain.org.